What is it? I mean, you mentioned the forest. You mentioned, you know, we could hear it in your voice when you're describing these forests on the west coast of Vancouver Island, the real sense of appreciation, the awe that you have for that part of the world, for your part of the world. I mean, it's a short drive from where you are to get there. And it's, you know, it's really world-class kind of forests and landscape and what have you. What other aspects of Nanaimo and Vancouver Island do you love?
Well, it's the fact that it's that, but it's also, if you fly from where we are to the west coast, you're flying over clear cut. The kind of forest canopy, those are protected, privileged spaces that what the island actually is and historically was a place for resource exploitation, which continues, and then now it's more and more people living there, and you know, more and more sprawl, and so there's a sense in which the emergency of that and the, you know, the panic of seeing, you know, since I moved to Nanaimo in 72, the population has more than quadrupled, you know, and we've been living where we are 20 years, and the forests and hills all around where we are slowly, you know, kind of slowly being eroded.
And you're spawning smooth jazz artists.
Yes, indeed. Well, no, I defend Diana Krall as being a good piano player. And
great first record. Played with Ray Brown, so that's
a chops. Yeah, she's cool. And, you know, it's like turned Elvis Costello into basically a Nanaimo guy half the year now. But she's actually very interesting because in the sense of that she's a reminder of one of the strengths of Nanaimo that's now disappearing under neoliberalism, which Nanaimo had a very advanced band program, which turned out many, many professional musicians. I was a sort of band nerd in high school. I never played anything, but I hung out with the people in the band, and several of them are still working as musicians. You know, and that there was a world in which people could learn how to play instruments in high school and then go on to make livings.
Such a deal.
Out of it, you know.
But it's interesting, I mentioned, what do you love about Vancouver Island and Nanaimo when you talk about overpopulation and clear...
Well, it's also the fact that it's the kind of privileged... one of the things, you know, I talk about is that when you live in a city like Vancouver, no matter how despairing or what your relationship is with your culture, there is that kind of forward movement and sense of we're all in this together and we can sustain, you know, and we can, you know, I think cities in that sense, in order to exist at all, have to maintain that kind of spirit of, you know, and in the country, and though that, I think, has become more difficult for cities to sustain. You know, I think it's harder for people in cities now than it was, say, 5 years ago. But my relationship with that was always that, well, I'm out here in the country. I can actually see the workings of capitalism much more clearly than for my advantage here in a place where they don't disguise things. And I might have overprivileged that whole attitude a bit. You know, I'm not as transparent about it as I, you know, once was, or clear about it as I once was. But that was very much my sense, though, that, like, my claim on reality is a little tiny bit stronger because of that. You know, it's like that.
You're a little removed from the rat race.
But a little removed, not just from the rat race, but from the rat race in the sense of you know, that the common bonds which sustain you in the city and sustain you in the project of modernity and all that. It's like there's never any sense of that. For me, it was always outside of that, or it was always on the fringes of that. You know, and
it'll sustain you until your hockey team loses Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and then it falls apart.
Well, one of the, you know, I'm not sure how much I'm going to deal with it. I'm actually writing a piece about Nanaimo for this show that is going to be happening later in the year about basically a lot of what I've been talking about here. And one of the things I don't know if there's a whole separate chapter for Nanaimo's brief history of Nanaimo riots. We had the bathtub riot in 1975, in which they closed, the pubs closed, so people broke into the liquor store by throwing like garbage cans through it, and there was like fires, and a couple of police cars got burned. And the mayor had to come out and read the riot act with a bullhorn on the street. There's the one closest thing to a riot I saw was the Jaws riot. It was like the night that Jaws opened, there was a big jostling crowd trying to get into Jaws. It spilled out into the... It's like... and for me, that sort of plays back too into Nanaimo's very particular, you know, labor history. I mean, one of the biggest coal strikes in the history of the British Empire. I mean, it was a very important coal strike, happened where I live.
South Wellington.
Well, no, all through the Nanaimo area, but one of the places that was centered was in South Wellington. South Wellington was the place where the strikers chased the scabs into the forest. Hunted them.
Literally.
No, they, you know, I don't think anybody actually got killed.
But there was also a coal mine disaster.
Well, there were many hundreds of people perished in the mines of Nanaimo. They were very poor, you know. And, you know, the whole history of Dunsmuir and that, the fact that he was sold about half of Vancouver Island in order to build the railroad tracks, which, you know, that's a kind of underlying thematic in my photography and my work, since those railroad tracks were very historically, they predate the highway by 100 years. They're you know, and there's always that sense, too, of Nanaimo as being, you know, the first real building in Nanaimo is the bastion, which is this defensive military structure, means the Hudson's Bay Company is here. And the Hudson's Bay Company turns it over to the coal mining concerns. And when that dies out, it becomes logging, you know, and the mill. It's like it's... Those relationships are always very, very clear in Nanaimo. And then the collapse of those economies and the rise of this kind of service, small industry economy in its wake, which is, you know, proliferating.
Which is not working.
Yeah, it's, you know, but, you know, for Nanaimo, it's actually been better than any of those other things. Nanaimo's actually doing sort of well in a weird way, even though there's this tremendous, people don't. Systemic poverty and, you know, things that are... But there's certain sort of aspects of that that have become sort of much different in recent years. The native band in Nanaimo has become very politically active and important in the past decade. Where, you know, there was no particular sense of that growing up, but it's become very apparent in recent years that that's a major and very important new political force. You know, and... but the traditional left-wing culture of Nanaimo, because it's a, for a long time, you know, it was a strong union town, and we, it's kind of divided now. The North tends to vote more right-wing, but the South, where I am, you know, everywhere I can see is good, solid socialist orange, you know,
yeah,
and has that culture, you know, still remnants of that culture.